Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we're going to be examining some miscellaneous Pesach laws which the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch put together in the 117th chapter, Kuf Yud Zayin. We're going to look at six basic ideas. And they are, when you find errant grain, like you find in your Pesach food a grain concern. Number two is kidneys. Number three is ingredients and production of foods. Number four is a matzah ashira. Number five is animals owned by Jews. And number six is rentals to non-Jews. Let's jump straight in. Finding errant grain. So what happens if chametz is found in a food which I'm supposed to be using for Pesach and it is erev Pesach? So if it is Erev Pesach, then it is annulled in a case of bidyeved, meaning you can't add it in. But if it's found there, then we use the ratio of 1 to 60, and it is fine and can be that mixture can be consumed. The example of this is you look in, you see, oi, there's a grain in the food. You can throw the grain out, and then you can actually eat that food on Pesach. Why can it be eaten on Pesach? Surely it's the taste of the grain. The answer is that we take the greatest volume of that grain, which is the most amount of taste it could have done, excreted into your substance, and we say because it was on Erev Pesach, then bittul happens, then nullification happened, and that taste is considered annulled. What happens if the grain was found on Pesach? That's a problem. On Pesach, I feel chametz is asur, I feel b'mashul, even a smallest amount is asur. There is no bittul on Pesach, and therefore there's a problem as well, even if you throw it out as well. What happens if the grain is found in the water supply? So let's say in the old days when people used to go down to the well and they pull up the bucket of water, and in the bucket of water is grain. Less likely to happen in the standard water systems today, but it's still plausible. In that case, you're not allowed to use that water supply unless there's no alternative. What happens if bread was found in the water supply? So in that case, that water cannot be used under any circumstance, even if there's no alternative. What about straining or filtering the water? If the bread was found, there's a real issue with this. It doesn't help because it could have been diluted, and at that point in time, the bread is asur b'mashu on Pesach, even the smallest amount as well. In the old days, when regular people would prepare meat, they would singe the skins of the birds, like chicken, to remove the feather stubs. Are there any restrictions in this? The Kitzur points out, yes. One has to be careful that when singeing the skin of birds, one has to make sure to use fire, which is not made from using the fuel of grain stalks, because of the concern there might be grain among them, which could be then burnt into the chicken skin. And also one needs to remove the crop, which is one of the digestive sections in the esophagus of the chicken, because there might be undigested grains there, which could be heated up through this process as well. Just something which is less common today, just because we as the consumer don't do the food preparation in such a level. It's usually done by other agencies, which we pay for essentially in the price to do. We move to the second concept, which is called kidneys, and that is legumes. Legumes, generally speaking, are asr on Pesach in Ashkenazic tradition. Why is this? This is a minhag which started well over 800 years ago in Europe. And there's two reasons. One is because they get mixed with grain very often, and they're often produced in the same plants. Even today, that's the case. And number two is it's easily interchangeable, especially with a flour. If you have flour from, let's say, rice flour, as an example, millet flour is almost indistinguishable from wheat flour, and therefore, because of that, it has been asr as well. So what are included? So rice, millet, peas, beans, all types of legumes as well. Do we include new types of kidneys as new things are found and discovered? This is a matter of great debate. And Rav Moshe Feinstein Paya Paskin say we don't include new things that are discovered. Many Paskin say we do, and therefore you'll see debate around substances, let's say like peanuts as an example. Peanut oils is part of this debate. And that was had many decades ago. The more recent one is quinoa, and there's different kashrus agencies and different points can have different opinions on this. These are all come into the same rubric of this question: is kidneys an ongoing extension, or is it only something which happened over the course of time and the minhag became to asr it, and therefore became asr based on that and becomes real halacha? It's not just minhag, becomes halacha which cannot be changed if one comes from that community. When does the Isra start? It starts from the time of Biur Chametz on Erev Pesach, and it goes to the end of the last day of Pesach. It's not like the Gebrach's Minag, which ends on the seventh day in many Hasidic circles. What about baby formula? So it's worthwhile knowing that baby formula is, generally speaking, made out of kidneys. And therefore, if you look at most kosher agencies, they give a list of the types of baby formula which have only kidneys and not chametz gomor in it. And the reason for this is because kidneys is allowed for a choilesh and by sakana. A person who's in a state of weakness or sickness, but is not in danger necessarily, they would be allowed to consume kidneys. The gezeira does not apply in such situations, and children are included in this. However, one cannot just use any formula, because some of that formula may have chametz gomor in it, so it needs to be on the list where it's only kidneys as well. And therefore, it's just important to remember that the equipment used for such babies needs to be washed separately. Now, can I keep kidneys over Pesach? Yes, one does not need to sell it. Can I benefit from it? Yes. So that means to say, kidneys in pet food is fine. Selling it and trading with it is fine. And is this universal? The answer is no. It's mostly from European Jews, Ashkenazim, and some Sephardim, but the majority of Sephardim do not have the prohibition of kidneys. They need to have, obviously, agencies which would check that the substances that they are consuming, in fact, are only kidneys and are chametz, which requires a huge amount of oversight. The third concept is ingredients and production. Are dried fruit an issue? The answer is yes, unless we know they were dried. It is a problem to have dried food because it is produced. It goes through a process of drying, and so we need to know what kind of grain was used as the fuel for that fire. What type of oven was it heated in? What about raisin drink or made out of soaking raisins? The kitzur says that's fine. Other poskim are concerned, a little more concerned about this as well. Are there any spices that are to be concerned with? The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says yes. Cloves are a problem because oftentimes they are soaked in barley water, and saffron is a problem because often it was treated with flour to maintain its color. The general rule today is anything which has any form of processing needs to be checked to have a kosher Pesach symbol, because it may seem to you that it's a raw product, but even something as simple as washing, like some vegetables are washed, and the vegetable soap that's used is a kidneys vegetable soap. One has to be careful. Washed vegetables in certain circumstances need to be checked. These are things that are required. Certainly anything baked, anything dried, anything which has had any processing needs to be checked, because you don't know how it was processed and on what equipment and exposed to what. What about honey? So the Kitzur says honey is asur unless it was crushed from the honeycomb by a Jew. And the reason for this is because a lot of times they would add flour as a stabilizing agent to honey as well. Again, the general rule is anything which is processed in any way needs a kosher Pesach symbol, because you do not know what happened, even though you think what could happen. That's why, and especially with the complexity of industrial kashrus today, that's why we need kosher Pesach symbols. The OU has a whole section of things which don't need a kosher symbol, and there are other ones which only need a regular year-round symbol, but one needs to check that out. Okay, let's move on to the next concept, which is matzah ashira. What is matzah ashira? Matzah ashira is a matzah which is made, but not using water, using flour mixed with fruit juice or mixed with eggs instead of regular just flour and water. Can one use matzah ashira? The answer is only a sick person or an elderly person may use this if necessary, but they may not use it for the Seder, because it does not work for the Seder. What is the concern? So if we're using for the Seder, it's because the Torah says lechem oni, which means to say the most simplest form of bread, which is just simply flour and water. Anything else does not make the cut. There is the other concern, which is the bigger concern, is that it ferments faster when you have water and flour together than when you have fruit juice and flour, and therefore it requires even more care than regular matzahs. So can a healthy person eat matzah ashira? The answer is no. Can I keep it? The answer is yes, it may be kept. It cannot be consumed unless a person is sick. We move to the next concept, and that is animals owned by Jews. How can one feed one's animals? So when it comes to birds, one can throw grain to one's birds, but it has to be distributed in a dry area, so there's no concern that those grains are going to be mixed with water. This becomes more complicated in today's where most of our grain products are already developed and already mixed with water as well. For animals, one has a real concern, because even if it's in a dry area, the animal's saliva will have a problem with grain and therefore cannot be used unless you're feeding it directly into their mouth. and therefore it's not going to be left around. The general practice today is not to use grain products for animals, and especially when you buy any pet food in the store, it's not just grains, it is grains which have been processed and risen, and therefore is real chametz gomer, and one cannot benefit from it as well. What happens if I give my animal to a non-Jew to look after before Pesach? So let's say I'm going away for Pesach, I put my dog in the kennel, I'm all right, right? Answer is no, because they are going to feed your animal, they're going to feed it grain products, which are chametz, and your animal is not allowed to benefit from it. You're not allowed to benefit from chametz over Pesach. So therefore, there's a real issue, and if a person is in such a situation, they need to speak to the rabbi and ask the question, can they sell the animal, can they change the diet? Real issues. Can I drink milk? From a grain-eating animal. So this happens to be a matter of debate, which is why the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says it is best not to, which is why we buy our milk and our eggs before Pesach. Unless it's Chol Yisrael, and they're making sure this is not an issue. Now, finally, our last concept is rentals to non-Jews. Can I look after a non-Jew's chametz on Pesach? No. Can I, in this case, there's oftentimes benefit which is procured to the Jew, and one is benefiting from the source that is chametz. Can one, what about acting as his agent to buy from him, for him? So let's say I'm going and I'm taking his money and going and buying, I'm trading chametz for him. The answer is no. Obviously the agent gets some fee and I'm benefiting from chametz over Pesach. Can I rent a non-Jew an animal which will carry his chametz on Pesach? The answer is no, because again, you're benefiting from his surei hana in this case. What about renting him a room? That is to store his chametz. That is a problem as well. What if I just rent him an animal and no stipulation is made? That's fine. Even if you know that he's going to use it for carrying chametz, that's fine, because you're just renting the animal to him. What happens if I rent a room to him, and I know he might bring in his own food in that room? No problem with Pesach, because you're not getting anything benefit for specifically from the chametz. You're renting him a room for any usage he wants. It could be for sleeping, it could be for doing yoga. It doesn't make a difference that he happens to be eating chametz in it as well. Can I give money to a non-Jew, to a non-Jewish attendant, to buy food for themselves knowing they'll buy chametz? So one can say, here's money, buy something to eat, and that's fine, because that's general. But if one's sending him to specifically a non-kosher store, to another non-Jew, to buy food, in that case, it's better to say it this way. Go get something to eat and I'll pay the tab, so you don't advance the money and give him money to go get something which is likely chametz on Pesach. If a Jewish child is dangerously ill, how does one feed the chametz they need to live? So it's best to give it via a non-Jew and pay the non-Jew afterwards. That's the best case scenario. But in many times, time is of essence and one needs to feed them directly. But if one does have a little extra time, that is the more preferable way of doing it. So we looked at six basic concepts today. We looked at these miscellaneous ideas: finding errant grain in a mixture, kitnias, ingredients and production, matzah ashira, animals owned by Jews, and rentals to non-Jews. With this, we conclude these ideas and we'll move on to the Seder in the coming days. Have a wonderful and meaningful